Welcome to Missionary Echoes, a ministry of the God's Missionary Church in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Pastor Joel Sickler, and I trust that you'll be blessed as we worship the Lord together.
Dare to run with our eyes fixed on Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run. We must have our Savior's vision, compassion for the lost, courage for the future, love at any cost. Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run.
At this time of year, I'm always reminded of the great reformers. Martin Luther's stand at the Diet of Worms in 1521 is a powerful example of how faith and conviction rooted in an unshakable foundation can withstand with God's help. At the Diet of Worms, Luther faced a tribunal of the Holy Roman Empire and was asked to recant his writings and teachings that challenged the Catholic Church's practices, especially the sale of indulgences and other doctrines that Luther believed contradicted Scripture. The event was a pivotal moment in the Protestant Reformation and has come to symbolize unwavering faith in God and His Word. You see, the problem was the Catholic Church had become corrupt and misleading. They had turned away from God's Word and began to do things their way. When Luther posted the 95 Theses in 1517, he challenged the practice of selling indulgences, a system where people paid for pardons that supposedly reduced their punishment for sins. This document, the 95 Theses, caught the attention of the world leaders and the public alike, spreading widespread debate. The tension eventually led to Luther being summoned by Emperor Charles V to appear at the Diet of Worms, a general assembly of the Holy Roman Empire, in April of 1521. Luther understood the gravity of this moment. Many reformers before him had been condemned and even executed for their heresy. Facing this powerful assembly, he knew that his own life might be at stake. When asked if he would recant his teachings, he initially requested time to consider his response and reflect on the weight of the decision. On April 18th, he returned with his famous declaration, where he said, "Unless I am convinced by the testimony of the Scriptures or by clear reason, I am bound by the Scriptures I have quoted, and my conscience is captive to the Word of God. I cannot and will not recant anything, since it is neither safe nor right to go against conscience. May God help me. Amen." Some accounts of the story have added the phrase, "Here I stand. I can do no other." Regardless if that was his response in the moment or if that was added later, his response at the Diet of Worms embodied an unyielding commitment to the truth as revealed in God's Word. He had planted his faith, his hope, in the unshakable, unmovable kingdom of God, and he was going to stand on that ground. No matter what happened to the earthly body, his spirit and soul was entrusted to the care of the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. Today, I hope you'll be able to stay with us as we look at the unshakable, unmovable kingdom of God. Here is Pastor Curtis Going with today's message.
Well, I'd like to invite you to turn with me this morning to the book of Hebrews. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 12. And I'm going to invite you to stand with me as we read God's Word together, Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll begin with verse 25. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. The writer here is speaking of the time when God spoke from Mount Sinai, and the whole earth around Mount Sinai shook. Yet once more, I shake not the earth only, he says, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. And I'd like for us to focus there in verse 28 on this kingdom that cannot be moved, and we're going to consider this immovable, unshakable kingdom of God. Shall we pray? Our Father, we're thankful for the privilege that we have to look into your word. We're thankful that you've not left us without a word, but you've given us a Bible to serve as our roadmap and as our guide. It instructs, it convicts, it challenges, it blesses, it encourages. Lord, I pray that you would help us to walk in its light. May the word of God come alive in our hearts this morning. I pray that you would help me as I endeavor to deliver your word. I am very aware of my deep dependence on you. And so I pray that you would give that anointing that makes preaching worthwhile. And may the word of God accomplish its intended purpose today. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Turn around, shake hands with somebody, tell them you're glad to see them, and then you may be seated. We are living in a time in our nation's history that if we let ourselves get consumed, we could become very fearful and very overwhelmed. As a dad, I think about my boys, and I think about just how much the world has changed in my lifetime, and I'm not an old man by any stretch of the imagination. And there are times when I wonder, if the Lord tarries his coming, what will the world look like when my boys get to their adult years? What will our nation look like? What will the church be doing? And I think that all of us can relate to those questions. There are times that we think about the future. We consider all of the unknowns, and we don't know what tomorrow holds. And when there are uncertainties, that has a tendency to create some apprehensions, some concerns about the future. Of course, we're facing an election here in just a couple of weeks, and we look at our nation. There are circumstances that are deeply troubling to us. I'm thankful to be an American. I'm grateful for the blessings of living in this land. And yet at the same time, I'm not blind to the realities that our nation has deep flaws. And our hearts grieve when we think of millions of innocent babies who've been aborted. And we grieve the moral debauchery that marks our land and the threats to our religious liberties. And I don't even have to tell you that across our nation, there's been a great falling away from biblical moral values, and the church has been impacted by that. And in so many ways, America has become a pagan land. And we look at our nation and we look at our world with all of its problems, all of its uncertainties, and we can begin to understand why the writer of Hebrews wrote here in chapter 12 about things in this world that are shaken. Did you know we live in a world surrounded by very shaky, very temporary things? If you've ever studied anything about world history, you've heard about the seven ancient wonders of the world. These were incredible feats of engineering in their time. There was the tomb of Mausolus. There was the impressive temple of Artemis. There was the lighthouse of Ptolemy. There was a great statue, a 100-foot statue of Apollo, 40-foot statue of Zeus, the great pyramids of Egypt, hanging gardens of Babylon. The people that lived in the ancient world who saw those things, they never dreamed that these impressive wonders would ever cease to exist. But of those seven ancient wonders of the world, you know how many of them still remain? One. One. Ptolemy's lighthouse was destroyed by an earthquake. The other five were demolished by foreign invaders. The only wonder of the ancient world that remains, I heard somebody say it, are the pyramids of Egypt. The rest of it is gone. An example of the temporary nature of this world and everything in it. And I'm not here this morning to be all gloom, doom, and despair. As a matter of fact, as a father of young kids, I sort of get tired of people saying to me, "Oh, I wouldn't want to be raising kids in a day like this. No telling what your kids are going to face in the future." Don't say that to me. Quite frankly, I'm glad to be raising kids in 2024. This dark world needs some people to shine a bright light in the darkness around us. And so I'm not here this morning to spread gloom and doom and despair. The Lord willing, we'll get to some more encouraging words here in a few minutes. But I want you to consider for a minute here that we live in a very shaky world. It's a world that's constantly changing. A world that is shifting. It's a world that is focused on very fleeting, very temporary things. One writer put it this way. He said, "In everything in the created universe shakes and trembles under the curse. Everything in this universe, everything in our nation is affected by the curse. Even though this world was created by God and God called it good, it's been defiled by sin, and that makes this world a very shaky place full of very shaky things." And here at the end of Hebrews chapter 12, the writer tells us there was a time that God spoke from Sinai and the earth shook. But he says the time is coming when God is going to speak again. And the next time he speaks, things are going to get a lot more shaky. Verse 26, the scripture says, "Yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven." And we understand that a day is coming when God will pour out his judgment on this world. The Bible calls it the day of the Lord. It's a day when God himself will shake the heavens and he will shake the earth, and this world that groans this morning under the curse of sin will be destroyed, and there will come a new heaven and a new earth. We read about this day of shaking, this day of judgment in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. One example, in Isaiah, God speaks to the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 13. And he said, "Therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, in the day of his fierce anger." A time of shaking that's coming. We can go to the New Testament, to the book of Revelation. John the Revelator speaks of this time of shaking. Revelation chapter 6, John said, "I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell under the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she's shaken of a mighty wind." And he goes on to describe this day of shaking, this day of wrath, this time of judgment. Those are heavy words. And those are words that remind us that time as we know it isn't forever. We're living temporary lives. We live in a temporary world surrounded by temporary things. And one day we will go to stand before God to give an account of how we've lived our lives here on this earth. Not one person will escape that great judgment. Verse 29 tells us our God is a consuming fire. We live in a shaky world. We dare not forget that. We can't lose sight of that. And the writer of Hebrews tells us all of these shaky things in this world will one day be shaken into nothing. Those aren't just strange apocalyptic words. He's speaking of actual events that are going to happen. All of these things will be shaken into nothing, he says, so that, at the end of verse 27, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. I'm thankful this morning in a world of temporary things, there are some things that are permanent and eternal and immovable, things that cannot be shaken. Verse 28, wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. What is this immovable, unshakable kingdom the writer says we're going to receive? Well, he's speaking of the great kingdom of God. Are you a part of the kingdom this morning? You remember Jesus came preaching the kingdom. In fact, in the Gospels, something like 100 times, Jesus talked about the kingdom. In the kingdom of God, Jesus is the king. Every one of us who's been born again are citizens of this kingdom. If you're a Christian this morning, you're a citizen of the kingdom of God. You may be a citizen of the United States, but you have dual citizenship as a child of God. This kingdom is both a present reality and a future hope. Right now, the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. It lives on earth in the hearts and lives of believers. Romans chapter 14, the Apostle Paul said, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. In other words, it's not something physical that we touch and see and experience in a physical sense. But he said, the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And so the kingdom of God is advanced and it exists through you and through me as we live in obedience, as we live holy lives, as we love God, and as we love one another, the kingdom is advanced. Now, when we're part of a kingdom, we understand that the most important things in life are more than what we can see with the physical eye. We see the temporary shaky things around us. That's what gets most of our attention, probably. But when we're a part of God's kingdom, we understand that reality is defined by King Jesus. Reality is not defined by what people in the world around us say. When we're part of this kingdom, we understand we don't live according to the values of this world system. We are in this world, but we're living according to the values of another kingdom. We march to the drumbeat of a different drummer. We live according to the values of this heavenly kingdom, and oftentimes that puts us out of step with this shaky world in which we live. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. We're a part of another kingdom. If you're following me at least halfway, say amen. Just want to make sure you're awake. So this is a great kingdom. And there's so much that we could say about this kingdom. But the one aspect of the kingdom that the writer highlights, that he lifts here at the end of chapter 12, he emphasizes that while earthly nations and earthly things will crumble, will disappear, will be destroyed, God's kingdom is permanent. It's enduring. It's immovable. It's unshakable. It's eternal. Now, a person could just about get blessed if they began to think of all the implications of the fact that we're a part of an unshakable kingdom. We're in a shaky world. We're surrounded by shaky things, but if you know Jesus, you're a part of an immovable, unshakable kingdom. And could I say to us this morning, let's not get so overwhelmed with all of the problems and all of the politics in our world that we forget that we're on the little end of a great big thing. Somebody said, systems of philosophy cease to be, but God's truth endures. Denominations disappear, but the church continues. Man-made ideas may fall apart, but the Word of God remains forever. heaven and earth may pass away, but the kingdom of the saints shall not be moved. And folks, our nation may be in trouble, but the kingdom of God will never, ever, 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 ever be in trouble. And this great king has, this great kingdom has a mighty king. Did you know that? I don't know about you, but our mailbox is full of political ads these days. And we're getting all of these ads telling us about why to vote for this person, the qualities of this candidate, the qualities of that one, and all of this. But could I tell you that not one candidate who sent us a mailing has any qualities that even begin to match up to the qualities of King Jesus? The Bible tells us about this king. He's a spiritual king. He's the king of righteousness. He's a heavenly king. He's the king of heaven. He's a glorious king. He's the king of glory. He's an eternal king. He's the king of the ages. He's the supreme king. He's the king of kings and the Lord of lords. And he shall reign forever and ever and ever and ever. And he'll never be up for re-election. Hallelujah. And one day, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that King Jesus is Lord. And I'd like to get a head start this morning and say, he's my Lord. And I love him and I worship him and I praise him. The nations and kingdoms of this world will pass away. World leaders who hold so much power, we think they're something. They have such influence, but the time is coming. They'll die and they'll pass into oblivion and somebody else will take their place. But God's kingdom is going to remain forever. It's immovable, unshakable, and our king will reign, and of his government there will be no end. Do you believe that this morning? Hallelujah. Now maybe you say, those are some good thoughts, but is that really practical? How does this apply to my life? And I would say to you, if you are a citizen of this immovable, unshakable kingdom, that'll have some very practical implications on how you live your life. For one thing, if you're a citizen of this great kingdom, you can live with hope-filled confidence in a world of hopelessness. Our world could use some hope, couldn't it? A couple of years ago, I walked into a store and I heard the saddest song, as they'd say in Harker's Island, the saddest song that's ever been, playing over the loudspeakers. Have you ever noticed how sad the world's music is? So much of it is, if you pay attention. Usually I tune out this music when I'm in public, but this day I heard the words and they just kind of, I paid attention. And the song said something like, goodbye to love, loneliness and empty days will be my only friend. How encouraging. And that song got finished, and the very next song that came on was this country song. It was kind of a story, and it was about this young man sitting at a bar, pouring out all of his woes to an older man. And the older man couldn't think of much to say. He just said, well, that sounds like life. Life isn't a fantasy. And eventually, the only solution that old man offered, he said, barkeep, pour this man another beer. Here this guy is heartbroken and all he has to offer him is another mug of beer. Well, I heard those two songs. And then I walked into the store next door. And wouldn't you know it, the first song that played was something about the sky is going to fall. I was ready to hang it up by that point. A lot of people are very, very hopeless in our world. But we don't have to get caught up in that hopeless desperation. This world and everything in it is going to be destroyed someday. Yes, we understand that. But we who know and love Jesus have received a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And so we walk into an unknown future with the confidence that we know he's going to be there. You'll never face a tomorrow where our unshakable king is not already there. And if you're always wringing your hands in despair and waiting for the sky to fall, that's a pretty good indicator that your eyes are focused on shaky things, that your hope's not in the unshakable kingdom of God. But if you really and truly believe that God's kingdom is an unshakable kingdom, if you really believe that God is going to have the last word in this world, then your fear of the future and your concern about our nation, your worries about the uncertainties of life, ultimately should give way to this confidence that the King of this unshakable kingdom is going to work things out for your good and for His glory. That statement is true regardless of who sits in the Oval Office. And I'm asking you this morning, do you really and truly believe that God's kingdom is an immovable, unshakable, eternal kingdom? And if you believe that, are you letting that belief guide you in the way you think about the future? Now, the ride might get a little rough sometimes. It does. God never promised things would be easy. But if we really believe that God knows what He's doing, we can be confident in the midst of the storm. Our glorious King holds the future in His hands, and so we rest in Him. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. That alone should give me peace and confidence, whatever life sends my way. I was reading recently after an author, and he made a statement, several thoughts, in fact, that encouraged me, and I'm paraphrasing him a little bit. But he said, when you truly come to a place where you can say, I'm a child of God, and Jesus lives inside of me, and I am living in the unshakable kingdom of God, he said, when you really truly believe that, then so many of the problems that plague us begin to diminish. Remember what Paul said about the hardships of life? He said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And so what did he say? He said, we're troubled on every side. We could understand that. We're troubled, yet not distressed. He said, we're perplexed, but not in despair. He said, we're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're cast down, but not destroyed. And the fact is that we are safe in this world, and we walk with confidence because Christ, the unshakable King, lives inside of us, and we live in His unshakable kingdom. I want to say that again because I want you to get that. That's kind of the heart of the message. We're safe in this world, and we walk in confidence because Christ, the unshakable King, lives inside of us, and we live in His unshakable kingdom.
What a wonderful hope we have in our Lord, the King of all kings. His kingdom is truly unshakable and will always prevail. Next week, we'll conclude this message on the unshakable, unmovable kingdom of God. My friend, I trust you know this King personally. But if you don't, it would be our privilege to introduce you. Missionary Echoes is an outreach of the God's Missionary Church, located at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church family, we'd love for you to join us. We meet every Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for a morning worship service, and 6 o'clock p.m. for an evening worship service. On Wednesday nights, we gather for a prayer and praise service at 7 o'clock p.m. We hope to see you in person. But if that's not possible, you can watch our services live online at LebanonGMC.com. There you'll also find information on upcoming events and can even share prayer requests with us. If you have any questions or comments about this broadcast, please call us at 717-273-3690. That's 717-273-3690. Or email us at lebgmc@gmail.com. We look forward to having you with us next week for another edition of Missionary Echoes. I'm Pastor Joel, wishing you our Lord's blessing.